Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
On YouTube, on podcast, on live, this is Rebel Yell from the WFCSN. This is the Rebel Yell podcast, supported by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical.
After 391 games, 204 wins and 791 goals, Adam Hinchelwood has departed Woodside Road for the last time as gaffer. Welcome to episode 7 of the Rebel Yell podcast, an episode that we didn't think would really have this theme for a little while. Pete's back. Hello, Pete.
Evening.
You probably heard him on commentary later. He's back for the podcast. Yakko's here.
Hello.
Hello. Special guest Dean Fry from the Away Boys. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah,
good to have you back on. When was the last time we had you back on? When we got promoted, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, so.
Unfortunately, it could be in better circumstances. Spencer's ill, by the way, tonight. He bless him, he came down, didn't he? In the pouring rain, and he's gone back home because he's not feeling unwell. But yeah, I think he's just too upset about Hinch leaving. But I guess let's get out of the way, guys. Hinch is gone. Thoughts initially. Hinch.
It was going to happen, I think, one day. It happened. I think we're in a good position as a club, but you know, good luck to him. You know, and I'll be thinking about it. If you get a better job offer, you go as well. And East Coast goes up a league, you know, potentially, you know, you can't stop them. Good luck.
I mean, we'll talk about York and the move to York in a bit, but initial thoughts, Dean, what was your, like, what did you think when you, because we saw the rumours started, what was it, Monday night, yeah, on some chat groups and on forums and stuff, there were, because the odds just went plummeted,
I think they're 8-1, 12-1 on, crazy. I mean, bookies are never normally that wrong, are they? So when you start seeing anything like that,
you never see a bookie on a bicycle.
Very true. So
we've had it before, haven't we? We have had him linked before. Yeah, it's been jobs.
I think it's just the timing, which is probably the hardest thing to take. What's it? 12? It's 12 left.
Yeah.
And so close, sitting third in the table. Big game Monday against Chelmsford, which could turn the table on that, and for it to happen now is just, that's just a strange one, because you think to yourself, he could get another accolade on his CV, but obviously the situations happen and he's taken the gamble.
Yeah.
So you can't blame him, as it's been said.
But you could always, just funny what you said, we could have the new manager effect as well. After two defeats, suddenly we've got a new team, and then, you know, who knows?
I mean, you've got a manager who's been doing it a certain way for a long time.
Mm.
Aaron's obviously coming in, so that could mean he's going to implement some slightly different ideas. Now, who's to say that the players don't take that and run with it and it improves us?
Mm.
It's... it's out there on the table.
Yeah, yeah. Pete, what did you think when you first, obviously you didn't want to think, you went to bed, I think, and turned all your social media off and your phone off because you were going to cry yourself to sleep, I think, weren't you? You literally did say in the chat, didn't you, say, right, I'm not listening to this anymore till it gets confirmed. So what did you think when you first saw, like, these rumours? Because, you know...
Shock, I think. Like's been said, you know, not many games left in the season. Strange time. Obviously, York are in trouble towards the bottom of that table. It's so tight, that table. Anything could happen in the National League. Mm. So you're looking at it, and you're looking at positions of the two teams, and you're like, is it the best move? But obviously, you know, York is a big club, you know, former Football League club, big stadium, big fan base. So, you know, and obviously it's always, you know, any manager wants to progress his career. So, yeah, fair play to him. He's got a job. He's got a lot of work to do in the next 11 weeks to get his ideas over and get the team playing the way he wants them to play. I've watched a couple of their highlight games recently, and it's a totally different, last few days. But it's totally
different. What have you been playing? Have you got to know some inside knowledge? Did Pete put some bets on and he knew it was coming? That's why he went offline, yeah.
It's a bit unusual situation as well, isn't it? Because Inch has been here for how many years and suddenly we lose a manager. We're not used to this.
Six this time, isn't it? I think six this run. Was it about six?
Yes.
Nine in total.
But I mean, I remember last time we went, so...
I was going to talk to you about that, Dean. Like, we'll go on to that because it'd be interesting to hear what the difference is this time to last old season. Achieved a lot more in that time. I mean, I think the thing is what surprised me is that, Eastleigh came up not that long ago and you think, okay, they're another sort of club that like sacking their managers left, right and centre, a bit like York at the moment. Yeah. I would have thought, yeah, still a big club, Eastleigh. Yeah, York are bigger. Maybe in past, obviously being a Football League club, they've got a lovely new stadium up there. If you look at the NNER, whether it's a bit of a tongue full, you thought the Crucial Environmental was a tongue full, LNER. But I would have thought maybe he was, because he did allude to it in Hayden's exit interview that he had approaches this season. Was Eastleigh one of those that was approached?
Didn't Crawley approach him at one point?
Was that, yeah, so I heard a rumour.
I think Crawley was one as well, which was a League Two side, you know, but then Crawley haven't got the facilities that York have got. Looking at that, it's...
Don't Crawley train at Horsham or something, I think.
So,
yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Which is quite ironic that they're a Isthmian Premier side training night ground. But, I mean, yeah, obviously we wish Hinch well, but I was just... I think, as you said, it was the timing of it. You know, as you say, he said to us in our end of season pod at the end of last year that he wanted to get one better this year. He wanted to avoid the eliminators, second or third home advantage, which we were odds on for getting at the moment.
The eliminators, we're not playing American football, mate.
They're called the eliminators. They're called the eliminators. Playoff eliminator, Pete. But yeah, they're... he wanted one better and he was right in pole position to get that second or third place. And I just would have thought, like I've said it quite a few times to us on chats and stuff, I really thought that he was going to see what happens this season, see where we get to at the end of the year. And if we didn't get that promotion, then I probably would have thought he would have gone in the summer, you know, to another club, would have snapped out, seen what he can do, or he's left off his own accord.
But maybe this was the chance, the once of a lifetime chance. And if he doesn't take it, will he regret it?
But is it once in a lifetime? He's definitely could. I reckon he's 40, late, like 40, yeah, 40, 40, yeah.
So, I mean, as a manager, that's young, isn't it? He's got a lot of years, so, but it's progression at an early stage, I suppose, in his eyes. So, I mean, when you look at the players that he's helped go up the ladder, the players who come in here, the Rickies, and he deserves it as well. So, the tough thing, like we said, is the timing, but no one can begrudge him because he's going to be around a long time in football management.
But timing is always going to be an issue, is it? What if we go up and then he leaves? You say, well, he leaves us. You know, the timing, it's whatever time he goes, it's always going to be disappointing, isn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that. It's just, I think it's the case of, it's the running, isn't it? That's the thing. So if he'd gone at the end of the season, if we'd gone up and then another club comes in and then everyone would be like, there you go. Go and do what you've got to go and do. I think people do think that now, but as I say, I don't think anyone begrudges it.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
Yeah, let's face it, as a person, as a manager, everything, he's first class on everything. Mm. But it's just, it just goes back down to the fact that how many games we've got left and getting over that line, so...
I think as we, you could also say sitting here in Woodside Bar recording, we feel a bit melancholy because we've had so many happy times in here with him having pints, drinking out the Isthmian League trophy, got the Sussex Senior Club trophy, the parties after we won promotion, the parties when we lifted the title. And, you know, you kind of think it's a bit like non-league anyway. You know, as a supporter of a non-league club, you're always going to be sad because players have left. We've seen, obviously, fan favourite Jasper leaving, Ricky leaving, coming back, leaving again. You know, all these players that you grow to love week in, week out. You know, the amount of chants that you've done as part of your away boys, you're going to have to rewrite them. Have you been busy the last few days? I'm probably saying.
Literally. I think when it, once it was announced, it was straight on the chat. And, there's been some reworkings and some new bits come out. So, It's just the foreign agreement that it's just back and out of the way now.
Oh, it's got to be done.
Nothing changes. We carry on doing what we've always done. As I suppose, as a club, as supporters, as everything, there's no need for nothing to change.
Not at all. So, I mean, we think about that. You know, do we think that in the interim that was the right appointment? Like Aaron, bearing in mind he's not managed, we love him as club captain and club legend, bearing in mind he's coach, but he's never managed before. Obviously everyone's got to start somewhere. He's been given a big job. Like, you know, it's not a relegation battle, it's a massive opportunity to cement himself.
I mean, if he pulls it off, he comes in, gets to the playoffs and somehow wins them, then wow. what a way to kickstart your man.
Give up gouging up.
What a way to kickstart your managerial career. There's no doubt in it. But I don't think there's that much pressure. I mean, the fans aren't going to put a load of pressure on him.
No. Not at all.
Because he's so well respected at the club from the fan base and everything. You know he's going to give it 100% and do what he thinks is best. So
I think the whole team is the three together. Because I believe they all know each other somehow. Because I think Aaron was at Southampton when Dean Hammond was there. Buddy was with Dean Hammond at Brighton. And obviously Buddy was here with Aaron.
Yeah.
So they all know each other. So I think it's a great little team. And I think, you know, Buddy's role probably be the talking to the referees and the officials and getting the red cards.
And I think also, obviously, Aaron's coached with Adam over a long period of time now, so he knows Adam's style of play, knows the system.
Do you think that's
play.
The style of play Aaron will play with? I mean, it's obviously hard to show until we actually see the first game.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I think he's going to stick to it. I think that's part of the plan, to bring him in and carry on doing. This is how the players have been playing, this is how they've been doing it. Whether it, like I said at the start, he might implement something that he's been thinking about. Do you know what I mean?
Defending. he wants to clean up that away goals. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's been a big disappointment. How many conceded? The goals for is amazing. Goals against not quite so good. But he's come in. He's going to do. I think he's going to carry on doing what Hinch was doing. But then, as I say, it's a different person, so he's going to have different ideas. He might have ways of tweaking it. And for all we know, that could be the difference.
And I think having Buddy back as well as a part of the coaching team, I mean, I think we've noticed his loss since he's left the club in terms of, like, you know, he, although he didn't play much sort of last season, he was that locker room, changing room leader, as you put it in my head, changing room leader. And, like, you know, having the players know him, the club knows him,
he picks it up, doesn't he? And he's a bit of a joker, he likes to laugh and he'll get him up for it. So
he's just got so much passion for the game.
Yeah,
but you'll see him running to a gate.
He'll be sent off. Wasn't he sent off in his last game for Burgess Hill the other day as well? Someone said, I think. Goodbye, Burgess Hill. Red card. Now he's that. Will that be carried on? Is he sitting in the stands for the next one?
Don't forget about Dean Hammond.
No, well, I was going to say, the irony is he signed for us in the pandemic, never played, did a marathon with Hinch and Cam, and now's come back in his first capacity at Worthing as one of the coaches.
Never lost a game.
But, you know, he's got over 500 games experience. You know, he was part of the Leicester team that won the Premier League. Yep. You know, come on, bit of that experience, especially for the younger players we've got. You know, I think it's great to have something like that. And obviously, he's been around many clubs and worked with many managers and coaches. So he can bring things to the team what we never maybe seen.
Yeah, I think he's been working with the under-18s this season, hasn't he?
Well, Dean has. Oh, he has been around. So that's where that's come from. I mean, I do think, as you say, that's a good thing to have. You know, someone that's like, you know, he's a winner. He's won lots of things.
Namely, one other non-league club near us. Well, we got that experience.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. But I mean, it leads us to go on and think. Right, say they do, as I said, you know, Aaron wins the playoffs or gets automatically promoted in his first season as manager, interim manager. Where does that leave us in the summer? You know, where does that leave us? Because would those guys want to be, you know, managing full time?
If Aaron and the team win promotion this season, does you've got to give them the job.
Well, you've got to offer it to him, at least.
As far as I'm concerned.
Does he want it on a permanent level? That's what I think. Yeah. It's hard to say. Would he? He's obviously going to keep his cards close to his chest, but he's just started his own business, you know.
Yeah,
he's still teaching as well, isn't he? So,
it'll be a change for him. And obviously, he'd have to take over Adam's responsibilities with the academy, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a full-time job. It's not a badly paid job. So, you know. He'd be tempted. And like I say, the whole thing with it, with disappointments, is the stability it puts within the club, because everyone's familiar with it. And if we can keep that bit stability, seeing how the rest of his season goes into next season, I think that's only a good thing for the club.
I mean, I personally think that the club obviously got a lot of faith in him to give him this opportunity. It could quite easily, there's probably managers out there, probably managers higher up out of the job at the moment, who could easily, the club could have phoned up, we've got this many games left, we could make the playoffs, do you want to come and get some glory? And you could have pulled someone like that.
You think of a former Eastbourne Borough and Welling manager, would
none
you?
None of that one.
No. Maybe Gary Johnson?
But I think that just goes to show, because there would have been people who would have come in. And had a go just to get that on there, try and get that on their CV.
Well, you know, for a fact, probably now, Barry, the club, Nathan are probably getting emails, CVs, phone calls being sent to them. Yeah. I would like to manage.
It's a big job, everyone's going to want it.
Yeah.
All the managers out of work. So, I think it's not only the job, but I think the team, but also I think where the whole club is. You know, I think as a club, we're very well run, you know, we're sustainable. When I saw some figures this. A tier 7 club lost £400,000 last season. You know, that's a lot of money. And I think we're better run. I think that's something that could attract a manager as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it will be interesting to see how the club go forward with what you say about the whole academy. Will that have to be a new role in itself? Because obviously Hinch, if you noticed in his interview or York interview, or it was one of the interviews, maybe Hayden's, where he actually said that he wanted to focus on first team because although he enjoys coaching the youth, it was a lot of work and he wants to focus as a manager. I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, but that was part of the manager's job here, was doing the under-18s. And I think that's a good thing, because having that hands-on role with the under-18s, if Adam hadn't have done that, would we have brought as many players through as we have done? So I think that's an integral part of the club and the full-time position as a manager here.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally think he will miss part of that side of it.
Yeah.
At York. But you know full well that Hinch will be sitting in stands watching the youth because he's that dedicated to it. So, but having that hands-on where you can actually control what's happening with
the way they're playing.
Yeah, that's it. I think that side of it he'll probably miss a bit. But like you said, he wants to concentrate on the first team.
Yeah,
and that's a great opportunity that he's found himself in now, isn't it? So,
yeah. I mean, again, we do wish him the best of luck. It's going to be really weird. I mean, I think we've got two away games coming up, but I think the weirdest one will be the home game when you first see, like, you know, he's not going to be here for the home game. You know, you don't see Tracy and the kids around the pitch, little juniors running around on the pitch playing football after the game. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of getting used to. But I'm sure the board have it in hand. I mean, we'll speak to Barry later on in the podcast to see where the club go forward from this. But, you know, I think Aaron's got a good chance of possibly getting the job permanently if he wants it, I guess, and it's probably a little putting himself in the shop window.
So I think we're talking about promotion. I think if we get a playoffs, I think that's an achievement already. And it doesn't matter if we finish second, third, or in up down to seventh. As long as we get in the playoffs this season, we've got a chance again.
I'm going to be honest, I was talking to a player earlier on, and he said we will make the playoffs. He goes, we will make the playoffs.
I think we'll the semi-finals or the eliminators, Pete? I think we'll avoid that. I think we'll get to the semi straight away. I would thought, like, I think we'll be second or third the way we're playing. We've had a blip. It's kind of a shame we didn't have that last sort of celebratory sort of moment with Hinch, obviously a disappointing match on Saturday, where I don't think Braintree were the best team, but they got their goal through a mistake and sort of sat back and defended.
They were organised.
They were organised, yeah. I think they played the game very well. They pressed us very high. They stopped us playing and they did a job on us.
Yeah, I think they watched Welling. I think they had some of that Welling game watching what they done, and they come here and tried to implement exactly the same thing, and twice it worked against us. But in perspective, having someone like Dean Hammond on the bench could help with that sort of situation, because he's got other views on the way, on maybe a different way of changing it. If it isn't working and a team turns up and they're pressing it's that high or that deep and we can't do anything with the ball, maybe he just have an idea. And between them, I think it could be quite exciting, to be fair. I don't see why we can't just keep
going. 100%. I think as you say, a new manager effect for us. I think it could happen this weekend. It's got a good opportunity, a good chance to do so. I think we also got touched on the fact Gary Elphick's left, who's obviously come back to the club, and you know, it was a welcome return to the club. There were sometimes things saying, you know, he's brought in to improve the defence. Has defence really massively improved this season? I don't know. It's very sort of, I mean, I think it's been a little bit more organised at the back at times.
Don't forget though, at the beginning of the season, we didn't league that many. And then we had Aaron going out. Then we had people playing out of positions. You know, what doesn't help either. And if you got four players at the back from day one and we play the whole season, yeah, it will make a massive difference. Or actually say back five, including the goalie. You know, I think that makes, you know, that will make a massive difference. And, you know, losing Aaron as a defender, I think that was a massive loss.
That is massive, because it was a different level. To be honest with you, when he comes to the club, he could have been a lot higher than being here.
Yeah.
But once again, to me, that just shows that even when he come back from that injury, and he didn't have to stay here.
No.
And he chose to, and he bought into what this club was about. And now he's getting a chance to manage it. So it's you've. To me, that's the right man to give a chance to.
I think it's weird because it was just last month's podcast. He had him on and we're like, oh, so what do you see next? Is he still coming to coach here? No, not for a while, I don't think. Well, that was a bit of irony right there. Maybe he knew something we didn't. Just talking about the first time, Dean, obviously us three, you know, we weren't around the club. I wasn't in the area then. And, you know, you were here when he left and came back before. Yeah. Obviously, there's huge differences with this time, but what did it feel like the first time he left? Like, were you as gutted as you are now, or was it kind of...
You know what? It was... George had just come in and taken over the club, and it was that real big hope at the time, because it was only like a few weeks before we were standing on the terrace thinking, are we going to have a club next week? It was sort of like that.
Yeah.
And then also George come in, and then, I mean... We went to the end of season do, which was in the front clubhouse, and there's Adam and George sitting there talking, and you're thinking, this is exciting.
Was Adam here before George came in? I can't remember. Was
yes.
it? Yeah, so he was here before George came in, yeah.
They were sitting there talking, and all the fans were there, and it was a really exciting time. And then obviously Brighton come in for Hinch, and... Once again, it was another opportunity he couldn't turn down. He had to...
Full-time job,
he had to go and do it. So, the beauty of that time was he'd laid such good foundations within the team, the squad. Brandon O'Neill's, Corey Heath's and Omar and players like that. So, when he left, obviously, it was probably just as gutting then, to be fair.
Really?
Because... You could see what he was about. We knew that it was going to be exciting. Then the club had been saved, the finances had been sorted, and also things are looking up. And then it comes up on Twitter or rumours come through. Oh, Adam's gone to Brighton, and it's like so you're up here, right up the top, and then all of a sudden it's like bang, and you're back down again.
Was the rumour mill as rumorific as it was this time, or no? Because obviously social media and stuff probably wasn't.
We had a slight warning this time, didn't we?
Yeah.
From the Monday, where last time, I think it was just like...
There wouldn't be bookies odds on him going to Brighton as academy manager,
It just happened. And so I wouldn't say it was any easier the first time than it was the second time, to be honest.
Did you always think he would come back? Or did you not even think you'd ever see him again?
No, I thought he would... I thought there was always a possibility.
Yeah.
Always a possibility he could come back. I still think even Even now, do you know what I mean?
Third time lucky.
Maybe it's just a bit of hope, but you know what? If it doesn't work out,
you'll be back in the summer when you'll get relegated and we go up.
Well, here he goes. He's already putting a knife in the back and twisting it into his back.
A few people said that. What happens if come the end of the season and he gets made into a scapegoat or something like that? And we've got an interim manager, we haven't appointed someone properly.
But then you've got to think from a board level, like in the nicest possible way, like do they want to go back so soon? Because they'll obviously, in some sort of ways, the board will feel let down, like naturally, because he's gone. They still think they've got a challenge here and everything like that. And you know, would they get really disappointed in that respect? You know, would they want to jump back into bed so soon? If it's a roundabout reason,
it all depends on circumstance, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it just all depends.
Mm.
You know, let's say after hope that he does a good job, he doesn't get relegated.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know, do you?
I guess we could probably say that I personally, deep down, I think, and it's nothing against Hinch, I love him to pieces, but if it all did go Pete Tong for him in York and he was out of a job in the summer and we still didn't have a manager full time, personally, as much as I love him, I don't know if I'd want to see him back so soon. I could see him down the line. I might be on my own in that thought, but obviously that's the thing. Would you guys, Dean, would you take him back just like that? You know, you think, is he going to happen again down the line? Is his nose going to get turned and we're going to then find ourselves in the same situation? You know, nothing against the man, because we all love him. But we've got to talk honestly about a football manager here who's now an ex-Worthing football manager.
Yeah, definitely. But it's so difficult. That's probably the toughest question of all. I mean, there's nothing more you want to do is see Hinch in that dugout doing what he does.
Doing
Hinch things.
But doesn't it always also depend what the interim management team are doing? Yeah. If they're doing really not great, then you're saying, oh, we want Hinch back. And if that we're on an absolute, you know, steamroll, we're doing really well, then you say, actually, Adam who?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's the roll of the dice. This is probably another thing, like another part of the gamble that Hinch has taken. Last time when he come back, it was because he was at Hastings, and I'm not sure what happened at Hastings, but obviously Gary had taken over as manager on his own. Gary Elphick had taken over on his own, and it just wasn't going very well. Hinch was at the game where Gary actually resigned.
Is that because of a friend of ours?
A big tall scouser. Yeah, but
he didn't get to say goodbye to Gary, did he? This time, that was unusual, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's got a bit upset, isn't he? But so I mean, that time it just fell into place. I think it's circumstance, isn't it? You know what I mean? If things are going really, really well, then you carry on doing what you're doing.
Okay.
If it's not working and all of a sudden things start going backwards or something like that, and that's your lifeline to get it back, then you take it, don't you?
Well, put it this way. We get promoted into the National League. We win playoffs or we win automatic. Probably playoffs. I can't see Yeovil stumbling now. No. It'd be what things happen sometimes. But Dean, Buddy and Aaron, for some reason or another, won't commit to full-time or go to National League, because we know how much of a commitment that is. It's going to be a commitment for the fans, the club, financially. Obviously, they've got it on their CVs. Hinch is out of job. Would it feel a bit unfair on the guys to come in and go, oh, yeah, we're in the National League now, Hinch is the manager again, but yeah, they did all the graft for the playoffs and stuff, you know?
It might be a bit hard, but in the end of the day, it's a result business. And well, if we go up, we want the best manager for the job who keeps us there. We don't want to be there like teams that got promoted last year, the whipping boys. Yeah. So it all depends what the club wants as well. Do we want to be up there and stay up there so you take the best man for the job? Is it Hinch at the time?
This is what scares me, because if you went up to the National League, most teams' budgets is like £20,000 to £25,000 a week for full-time teams. We'd be a little part-time Worthing, and our budget would be nowhere near that amount of money. So it's quite a scary thought to go in the National League.
I think it's very scary. And
it'd be good, but
on the forum, people keep saying, oh, we're not ready. Oh, when will you be ready? You know,
there's never a good time.
There's never a good time.
It's like anything. You've got to take your chances when they're there.
And that's the bottom line.
Well, we joked with Barry and stuff about when we're going to inch in closer to the National South. We're like, oh, Barry, you're getting scared now, aren't you?
As I say, it's just really awkward with the whole.
But Pete, what would you say? You haven't sort of said anything. What would you do? Like, you know, your hinges. You go on in your blog earlier.
I'm firmly on the fence.
Pete's pulpit on RebelYell.live. Read his little blog. He goes on about his night that is unrepeatable with Hinch. You know, we know they're all friends deep down. But what would you say if, like, you know, there was a vacancy in the summer, Hinch was out of a job, and, you know, would Hinch actually go for it again?
Well, it's totally hypothetical. Before we say Hinch won't be out of a job.
There's one thing we haven't even said. It is family as well, because he's taken his family with him and then uproot him again so soon. You know, I think that's very hard.
But you have to wonder if Tracy and the family will stay down here, I'd think, because Teddy's in the academy. I think they've all just suddenly gone.
The kids are in school and everything, so there's going to be a transitional period there. But,
Go on, you have to answer. We've all answered. You can't avoid it, no.
You've got to answer.
And if he does try and avoid it, everyone just listens to this, ask him on a match day.
If he was out of a job in the summer, which is not going to happen.
But he is out of a job in the summer. We're saying that.
Never going to happen.
He is out of a job in the summer. We're asking that.
But, yeah, I'd have
you would. You would. So Pete says yes. What would you say, Yakko?
There's no right or wrong answer to this.
But it's your opinion. It's your thought. That's what matters. You know?
It's also... It depends on the circumstance, isn't it? It's, if, like I said before, if the three are doing a really good job, and even if we're not get promoted, we still give them the, you know, it all depends, you know, if the opportunity comes and Hinch comes back, yeah, it will be great. But the expectations will be really high based on previous success. You know, it all depends. And in the end of the day, I don't have to make the decision. It's going to be up to George and the board. But, you know, let's make it clear, Hinch is always welcome here in whatever capacity, you know, but it's...
The trouble is in football, there's no room for sentiment, or is it?
No, there's not.
You know what I mean? It is all about the business, it's all about the progression.
Dean, I was thinking of that, though, to be honest, mate. If we're sitting in that bar celebrating promotion at the end of the season again, nicest possible way, we'll think of what Adam started, the journey, but would we really be thinking about Adam at that time? Probably not, and it's not because we... forget about him, forget about the memories, but we've got new memories that have been made by a new management team. So, as you say, it's a results business, you know.
I completely agree with that. I mean, even the season that John and Gary got us promoted, and like I mentioned earlier on, that we still knew that team, the 90% of that team, the foundations of that team was Hinch.
Mm.
So, even though he had gone, I mean, there was a lot of people, there was people saying, oh, we won the playoffs, but if Hinch had been here, we'd have won the league. Everyone had different theories. Do you know what I mean? But the fact was that he laid the foundations then. So it doesn't matter what happens. It happens at the end of the season. Even if we win it, Hinch gets a big, big, big chunk of that credit because he's put this together. Them players out there, that's a hell of a squad. It doesn't matter how you look at it, and he's put that together. So in some ways... I mean, Aaron and Dean and Buddy are coming in to take over this. What a team to take over. It's
worse teams.
And it's exactly the same as when John and Gary come in the first time round.
But also, how often does it happen that the manager leaves from a successful team but doing really well and then somebody rolls into it? Usually, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Teams are not performing when the manager gets a sack or he leaves. You know, and here it's completely different.
It's a strange one, isn't it? It's hard to like put things into words with some of it, to be honest with you, because it's like we're sitting third in the table and like we're probably, what's it, 4 weeks away, 5 weeks away from probably guaranteeing playoffs.
To be honest, I think by the time we record the next podcast, end of March time, playoffs would probably...
Yeah.
You'd know you're in the playoffs. You don't know the final positions, but, you know, I think you'd know we're in the playoffs again.
That's the fine line. That's how close it is. So, I mean, I still think it must have been a hell of an offer for him to go.
It's like the thing, though. It's like you do say, you know, it is... we don't like to say he's not a money grabber at all. You know, no. You know that. But at the end of the day, if he can sort his family out well, he gets contracted to a good salary on a club that is a full-time club, an amazing stadium with amazing facilities, you know, you've got to have some financial, you know...
But people need to realise as well yeah. that it is a job.
Yeah.
It is a job. It's not...
It's always the weird thing about football, yeah. football fans, isn't it? Because we always, you know, when someone leaves, you feel like you've seen players go, why is he leaving there? I mean, maybe not so much as down in non-league level, but you see professional teams like, you know, you say, why is he going to that club? Or why is he going to that club? But it's his job, you know. Mm. They're not loyal. They might support a team.
Like Potter going from Brighton to Chelsea.
Well, there you go. But, you know, that could be a similar sort of... comparison, but higher up the league table, you know, like I'm sure Adam's completely capable to manage in that league. Whether he's capable with that squad that he's inherited at York, and he goes down, as you said, and we said earlier, regional football might be why they've looked at him in case they do go down, and he can focus on that regional area.
So you could, if it did happen, they went down, and I mean, obviously, we're never going to know when Hinch has turned up there and spoken to the chairman, and he said what he wanted. We don't know what was said.
No.
We don't know whether that chairman's thinking to himself, do you know what, I'm bringing you in to keep us up, or I'm bringing you in because we think you can keep us up, but if it goes wrong, then we know you can get us out of the league below. Exactly. We know you can do what Yeovil were doing in the South.
Exactly.
So
very true.
It just depends. Exactly. That conversation is the key to the whole situation, what happened there. But whatever it was, it must have reassured Adam enough to take the job. So you've got to think there's some sort of guarantee there somewhere, even if they do sack a lot of managers up there.
Adam's not going to sit there and say, yeah, I'll take 11 games and I'll get sacked if we don't stay up. He's not stupid.
He's far too wise for that.
But have you thought about this thought? We get promoted, they stay up, Adam's in the away dugout at Woodside Road next season. That will be the weirdest. No, they're in the National League, Pete.
Yeah.
I just... yeah, well done. No, I said, if we get promoted and they stay up... See, and he was correcting me earlier for my Americanisms.
I haven't got a mic in front of me.
If that happens...
For a change.
If we bowl for the National League and Adam comes as a visiting manager to Woodside... I can only see one thing happening.
Well, it'll be applauded till they score a goal or two, and then we'll be booing him.
No, I don't think. Yeah, maybe, you know what, maybe just for 2 minutes.
Banter, it? And the thing is, he would know that as well. So
I think he'll still get a great welcome here.
Yeah, of course he will.
Of course he will. He'll get here every day. But he said he'll be back.
Manager in this club's history.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no doubt about it. No. I was talking to someone about this the other day, and they said, what makes him the greatest manager in the club's history? And I was like, well... It's what he's done. But I understand why. I think Hartley mentioned something about some of the previous managers and how good they were. And when you look back, there probably was, prior to 2015, there was a lot of shackles holding things back. Progression was never really on the table. So Hinch probably got really lucky, the fact that Not so much that we nearly went bust, but the fact that did happen, and then George come in, and that opened the doorway for the club as a whole.
Hmm.
I don't think, and this is no disrespect to Morty or anyone, any of the past regimes or anything, but there's no way if George hadn't come in and opened that doorway for this to happen. So we'll never know how good some of those other managers could have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were tied. But the facts speak for themselves. As it stands, no one touches him. So,
no, I think I agree with that. I agree.
But you also see, like, you know, we support Worthing at non-league. I don't ever see the managers of other non-league clubs as sort of affectionate towards the fans, and the fans back as affectionate as they are towards him. You know, in the bars, we've been to plenty of away games, and we don't see the managers come in that often into the bar like he does, have a pint, offer to buy pints and stuff.
But isn't that the whole club ethos?
It is.
It is. We, as a club, they're not above us. They're, you know, it's more like one club.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean by that, it's not, they're not like, oh, we're the players, we're the coaches, and that's it.
And I think Adam takes some responsibility for that as well, the way he's brought, you know, the fans and players and himself and the management team, that they stay, have a drink, not scared to talk to you, really open about stuff. You can ask me a question and it gets answered.
But it's the other thing, how many other teams are there where the players, management team and fans share a coach to the away trip? How many would be there?
I don't think there is.
I don't think anyone does it, do they?
Dorking do it.
I've not heard.
But Whitey also puts money behind the bar for away fans. What a top guy that is, you know, like sell out the away end. Yeah,
only when they sell out the allocation, however. Yeah. But, you know, I can't think of any other club where you all share a coach.
I mean, the bottom line is Hinch has just got time for people.
Yeah.
Because that sums up his character and who he is, do you know what I mean? And that's why he's so... That's why them players respect him and...
But it's also, as well, what you got to take into account, it's also the finance director who's saying, hold on, there's 20 bloody seats empty on that coach. Let's get some fans on.
Well, fair enough, but, you know, it still happens.
I mean, I think, you know, we're getting to a point now where, you know, we've reminisced, we've talked about the future and stuff like that. Let's talk about the past and think, you know, if we go around the room, Dean, you've got the mic in your hand. Top moments of Hinch being, you know, your favourite moment, obviously... Putting aside the title, because that was just... I mean, I would say my favourite moment was him, Worthing Station crossing. Biggsy's obviously not allowed in the ground because he had a ban. Biggsy's in the pub. He's waiting all night. I'm telling him to stay there, stay there, stay there. Hinch has got the trophy at the crossing and we go into the railway. Yeah, well,
I left the pub 5 minutes before you turned up.
Oh, mate, yeah.
I went down
to I didn't want to tell Biggsy what was going on because it was a surprise and obviously he didn't know. But that for me was probably the moment I remember of him as a gaffer. He was like straight away... Because he knows how much of a big fan Biggsy was. Unfortunate circumstances why he wasn't allowed in the ground at the time. That doesn't need to be repeated or said, but he wasn't. You know, any other manager could have said, no, we're not taking it down there. But he's walking down the Tarring Road, whatever, with Woodside Road, waiting at the crossing for about 5 trains to go past end.
And there's Spencer, he's never signed. Yeah. Singing, we're the north side.
And then you've got people waiting at the crossing going, what the hell is this going on with like all these like things? But that I think that's my favourite moment. So, Dean, what would you say, mate?
It's so difficult. It was just the way that he... My favourite bits were when Adam got involved with the fans.
Yeah. Can you remember one time in particular
It's really hard to pick one out, but I mean, I remember one of the end of season dudes over in the bar, and all the presentations had been done, and there's still a lot of people there, a lot of the players still there, and there was a few of us, so we started singing, as you do, because we'd all had a few beers and the song started, and he was just there joining in. Like being a part of it, and then he was going, what one's it? What one's that one that you sing? And then he started singing. He's going, yeah, you know what I mean? But that integration with the fans and everything, it's just something. It's not something that happens in football, really, is it?
So, no.
And that's why it's not just like losing a manager. He's to the sport, a lot of sport. He's mate as well, yeah. Isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
So
I think that probably makes it a bit harder.
But. Yeah, that's it. I think it does feel like a friend because, you know, I've got him personally on the phone because we obviously got a good relationship. Pete mentioned the blog. He's always been up for Rebel Yell, you know, like he's always, you know, replies to texts and he's always very open. I think it does feel like you've lost a mate. That's what it feels like because he felt like, I think most fans could say that. But yeah, that's good. I think as well, the coach journeys after those away, the ones where we lose, I don't miss because he's sitting there with fire of thunder on his face. But like the ones where he's gone and bought a crate of beer and everyone's drinking and singing. And karaoke, they're the good ones. Pete, how about you, mate? What is your sort of what's your memory? Forgetting we're not talking about we're lifting a title, this is like personal memories and stuff. Last Melon, no, he wasn't there that night, was he?
No, I think interviewing him, in the port cabin.
God, I have to say, the amount of times you were absolutely bricking it going into there when we lost. Like,
I tell you what, the worst one, it was the COVID season. And I think it was COVID season. Anyway, we're playing Cole Shorten away and they hammered us 3-0, I think it was. And anyway, we've got to do the interview. And he's going to his car. So cameras are quickly set up for a thing. We're by the entrance to the car park because he wants to get off that quick. He was fume. Absolutely.
One word answers.
Yeah, absolutely fume. And he was. Had to do a retake of an interview at Hornchurch when we won there. And he dropped the F-bomb. We're like, oh, God, we'll have to start that again. And like I say, in the port cabin, there was one. I can't remember what caused it, but something happened. They were just both in hysterics, and it took us about 3 minutes, 4 minutes to compose ourselves.
What happened? Do you remember?
I can't remember what it was, but it was so funny.
I was my head in the pillow in there on the sofa. It was in there, Stuart's bed.
Stuart's bed. That's why all this kit's come out of nowhere, is it? He used to use his bedding.
So yeah, that was absolutely hysterical. So yeah, so many memories, so many good times. Yeah. It is like you've lost a mate.
Yeah. Obviously the title, but I think the way he brought the young players through and how he trusted them. You know, do you remember when Joel Rye started? Everybody went, Joel Rye. Mm. And what a diamond he turns out to be. Mm. That he wasn't afraid to play younger players, give them the chance. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, was brave, but he trusted them. And I think that's something, you know, I will miss.
It doesn't happen enough in football, does it? That giving youngsters chances. No. It's just something that doesn't. You go up the pyramid, and very rarely you get one or two, maybe at a club. But it's, I mean, you look at the philosophy behind it, bringing players through. You train those players how you want them to play. They're coming through the system the right way, the way that the club wants them to be, the manager wants them to be. I mean, a prime example of that was probably Ferguson with all the youth he brought through. That philosophy is a brilliant philosophy.
Club I could think of is Ajax, where they do it.
Yeah.
They start them really young and they bring them through and then they sell them. But, you know, I think that's the only club I could think of.
Southampton
were a selling club, weren't they?
Southampton was a selling club. They brought a lot of players through and shipped them off to Liverpool or wherever for big money. So it does go on.
Is it Spain, though, where they, like, bring up... They all play together all the way through the age groups. They all move up together until they get... And then they get to, like, the first team. They just bring them through in
just
one
a wave of players.
Yeah, because they've played together since they were like 10 years old, and then suddenly they're making...
And their system's good because obviously their B team's playing like a Segunda and Tercera division or something like that, whatever it's regional division. But
Duolingo.
Yeah, something like that. But it's not gone to football yet.
I thought he was having a funny turn.
But you should have heard me when I tried to say hello to Luca at the beginning of the season. He looked at me like I was having a funny turn, trying to speak Spanish. He's like, yeah, right, mate. But anyway, I think, you know, it's been great to talk about. We've got Barry and Jack coming up on the podcast anyway to talk about the experiences of what happened and how the move went ahead. But I think we could just say from a fan's point of view here, and, you know, I was calling friends as well, like, you know, good luck, Hinch. You know, we are going to miss you. We're really going to miss you. And it's going to be really weird. I can't think of any better people to be taking the club in the interim, like in terms of Buddy and Aaron. We joke about it when he said last month he wasn't going to be around coaching. I don't think he saw a month later it'd be a manager. Well, less than three weeks later.
I wonder if it took any convincing.
We have to ask him. I mean, we wanted to get him on the podcast tonight, but as you can appreciate, it's their first full training session as the interim managers. They are busy.
When I spoke to him, I didn't think it'd take a lot.
Massive.
But imagine if Aaron Racine's the next guy, he's here for 6 years and he leads us into league football. Can you imagine that? It could happen. But I think what we need to do, get behind them. I'm sure we all will. I'm sure, Dean, you've got some new songs to try out on Saturday.
I
think people will still I'm sure people will accidentally sing Hinchelwood or something by mistake and something, and you know, but
I've been waiting for someone to make a mistake, to be fair.
Well, it can't be Aaron at the back anymore. Cole Brown at the back, Ollie in attack, Alfie at the back, and
Aaron in the dugout.
No, that's why you're a commentator and not a songwriter. That's what it is. But Hinch, good luck, and I think it's time to talk to Barry Hunter. He'll talk us through the day that Hinch left the club.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Barry, welcome back. Maybe in not the best circumstances in terms of a fans level, but I thought it was important that you come on as the chairman to speak about the whole process of Hinch leaving the club on Tuesday. As you just sort of said off air, it's been a bit of a blur and you don't know the timelines really, but you know, personally, on personal level, how are your thoughts about how it all came about? Were you surprised, shocked?
Hi, James. No, I wasn't shocked. Only because the club had received a number of approaches to talk to Adam over the last year, and it didn't surprise me that we had another approach. That didn't shock me at all, but that's because we've been living with those approaches for a while. What had shocked me was the amount of, or the speed in which this deal was done. Mm. That was quite shocking, to the extent that we, you know, everybody was, you know, in a matter of days, literally, it was initiated and done. Mm. That was quite impressive, I have to say.
Yeah, because we have to go from a disappointing loss to Braintree on Saturday, us leaving the ground. I don't think it was the ever last time we'd see Adam Hinchwood in the dugout, in the home dugout at Worthing. And that's what I think surprised us. So you say it was really quickly done. So this was, as you said, it wasn't something that's been interviewed before and like they just wanted to press the button, but they had their man in mind, or?
Well, they definitely had their man in mind. They knew who they were after. They'd obviously done a lot of stats and analytics and research on Adam and the marketplace for managers. We'll be a little careful here because obviously there was an incumbent,
of course, yeah,
and his situation. So, but I think by the time I had spoken to the club, not York City, they were clear about their target. And like you, I left the game here on Saturday, by the way. Had no knowledge of this interest. I got home and was having dinner with my wife in the evening, Saturday evening, and had a text. That was the first.
So this started. So if we talk about timeline. So this for you started on Saturday night after the game
for the club. It started club, Saturday okay. night after the
and
game.
And what was that? Was that from York contacting Nathan as a director of football? Nathan contacting you, or like what's that process?
Actually, an agent contacted me who was representing a club from the National League that would be interested in asking our permission to talk to Adam, because that's the protocol.
Okay.
That's how it has to happen. Mm-hmm. Again, it's only an inquiry from their point of view.
Did you then spit your dinner out? I go, what the hell?
Like I said, I mean, I had had other dinners where I'd be before. Yeah. Often they go through Nathan, but this one came through me. And I spoke to the agent and I said, look, if there is real interest here, I need to speak to the club first.
Mm-hmm.
So then that was handed across to the club.
Was that Saturday night as well? Or was this
Saturday,
all, yeah.
Saturday night I had a call with the club. They said, look, we'd like to speak to Adam. We've done a lot of research. We think he, you know, is somebody we'd like to speak to. We haven't entirely decided where we're going with ourselves at the moment, but with our manager. And again, I have to say that you've got to be respectful of that situation. Somebody's still employed by the club. But there's no harm in them asking us permission to speak to Adam. And so it was literally from Saturday evening, by Monday evening, well, I spent Sunday talking through this, and then Monday, done. We then had to just sort the paperwork out on the Tuesday. And I think that's why Jack has just explained it took the day to get different paperwork sorted out.
What was the gist of the conversation with York? What sort of, from your perspective as the chairman of Worthing Football Club, what are you going in with? What are you saying to them about Adam and, you know, what you want out of it? Because obviously just signing a contract, etc., and obviously a very successful manager for Worthing.
Well, Pete, the first thing is that as a board, we had already discussed and agreed with Adam that depending on who was approaching us to talk to him, we could determine whether we wanted that to happen or not. And so there were a few approaches that we didn't give permission because we didn't think they were big enough moves for Adam to make, in our opinion. We would obviously share that with Adam and talk to him about it. But when the likes of York City come knocking on your door And just to give some background to this, for anyone that doesn't know and looked at what they have, apart from the reputation of being a League One club and the history of York, 140,000 population, one club city. They've got a brand new 8,500 capacity stadium, which is unbelievable. They've got a training ground with facilities that are unbelievable. They're owned by a very high net worth family that run the club. So they're well backed. They probably have a player budget, I'm guessing here, of a League One, League Two club. Their average crowd this year in the National League, at the bottom half of the table, is 4,500. It would have been completely wrong for the board to say, Adam, you can't speak to these guys, because that's the sort of opportunity I think he had earned the right to go and find. So, and the board believe that absolutely. So on the back of that, that's when we said, you can talk to Adam, but it's going to have to be on these terms, because, by the way, we're going to lose a manager here that we have huge respect for, who's delivered a lot for us. And it's actually down to service for another three more years. So this is what we need in compensation if you were to take him onto your books. So it was kind of there's a few different agreements going on here at the same time.
I think one of the things we were as fans surprised of was the club where they are. York are just above the relegation zone in the National League National League, possibly in a weird roundabout way, we could take their place in the National League if everything was to go right here. Did it ever surprise you, forgetting the size of the club, forgetting, you know, the York are a bigger club than Worthing, we appreciate that, a former Football League club, places where Worthing want to go. Did it ever surprise you on a personal level that he was going at this time of the season and for that club?
Definitely not for that club. I understood why, 100% why he would want to go and talk to that club, and for that reason why we would not want to stop him from talking to the club. The timing, I think, was driven by where they are in the league. They obviously felt that they needed to make some changes and see if they can get themselves out of the hole that they're in, found themselves in. Just, I think they're one place above relegation zone. And I think that, with 12 games to go, was a driver for them. But I do think that, well, I know firsthand from talking to the club, that they see his appointment as a long-term appointment. They've recruited him because of his style of play, because of his possession football, but also because of his belief in the youth structure and the pathways he's created at Worthing and the importance of that to York City. And those things don't happen overnight. So I can tell you firsthand that they've looked at this as a longer-term project in taking Adam. So whatever the consequences are this year, I don't think that will be a determinant of where Adam's career goes. I think I would imagine and I would expect them to give him the support to do the job that he's been brought in to do.
Mm-hmm. Pete, you were going to ask about him taking Adam, and obviously Adam's been contracted as a new contract since October, weren't you?
Yeah, I did sort of ask that, but obviously it's the deal, at the end of the day, we might all be gutted, a bit upset, needing therapy, but at the end of the day, it's going to be advantageous to Worthing Football Club as it's all panned out.
I would probably rephrase it that we're not disadvantaged by it. I don't think we're necessarily advantaged by it, but we certainly are not disadvantaged. We've insured ourselves because he's on a 3-year contract with us, he was, and because of that, we have currency that we could then use to negotiate, and we did. And I think the phrase I'd use is that the deal that was done was equitable all round. York City have got their man that they wanted. Adam's got a career path now and an opportunity with a fantastic club, which I think will go back into the EFL at some point. And we were suitably compensated, which will help us secure our new manager. So I think all round, it was okay.
Jacko?
You mentioned new manager. How soon after you knew Adam was going, you decided on who was going to take over? And was this the three you'd chosen, were they always in your back of your mind that you wanted them back at the club?
So we
definitely wanted Buddy back in that bar, didn't you?
We knew on the Sunday that this deal was going to happen, quite likely, this change. So I had a call with the rest of the board on Teams on the Sunday evening. We updated everybody. On the Monday, we called a board meeting in here, which includes Nathan and Keith. And we asked Nathan on the Monday morning. Sorry, yes, no, on the Sunday evening on the team's call, we asked Nathan to pull together a plan of how he would manage the rest of the season. And on the Monday, we had the board meeting. He came in and gave us his opinion, and which the board absolutely unanimously agreed with. And it was more around the fact we needed continuity. We wanted to not disrupt things on the pitch. The momentum that we had, we wanted to keep going. So it was more about finding the characters that could do that. And obviously with the three that we brought in, they absolutely will provide the continuity out there, which will give us the best chance of promotion this year.
Now, the three we brought in, obviously Darren Budd, well known to club, Aaron Racine, obviously captain, as we have joked, he said he was not looking at coaching so soon. He's already the head manager of Worthing FC, and obviously Dean Hammond coming in. They said interim. Now, it wouldn't be fair for me to ask what the whole plan is, but say we get promoted. Will that conversation be had if they want to keep the job full time, or have they said they're just going to be interim? I'm sure you've been inundated with people sending CVs. I'm sure your phone's been blowing up. You know, what is the plan for? I know you can't go into huge details, but obviously from a fan's point of view, we've got two club legends, and Dean Hammond, who's, you know, well known and is a Premier League, you know, winner and stuff like that. You know, he's been around the professional game. If they get promotion, the fans are going to feel very like Hinch love towards them, but they might not want, we don't know their personal circumstance. So where does this go for you, Barry? Like, what do you look at now? What's happening? What's the next step? You must have a plan in place.
I'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
I'll just put you on the spot there. Yeah,
a couple of days.
Yeah.
It is only Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
So, look, obviously that would be a nice problem to have to deal with.
Yeah, of course.
If we get promotion, then clearly there's some very good conversations that could happen. But listen, I think the important thing at the moment was to separate the decision around our long-term replacement for Adam as a first-team manager, head coach here, from being able to get and keep going in on the playoff, make sure our playoff ambitions are achieved this year. So we've separated the two things so that the job now, they're out there training tonight, for example, everyone's focused. That job can continue with continuity. We've got every confidence in those three guys to deliver us the outcome we set off to do at the beginning of the season. In the meantime, yes, we have received a lot of applications already.
Gone, how many?
Quite a few.
Do we go into double figures? Triple figures?
Definitely double figures already. I don't think...
It must be quite a nice problem to have in some ways as well.
I think what's happened, this club now, compared to when Adam came in, it's a very different proposition. Yeah. This is where you turn a problem into an opportunity, isn't it? Adam has gone. Mm. We were really pleased with what he delivered for us. But now, doesn't this give us a cracking opportunity?
But it's like what Adam said, to be fair. He said earlier, three years ago, when we started the Red Bull podcast, he used to have to go out finding players. Last season, he's had players coming to him. He's been inundated. So I guess it's the way the club's transformed.
Absolutely.
You're going to have a bit of a headache.
I'm super excited about the candidates. And I think we will find as a club, all round, supporters, staff, that we've got an opportunity on our hands here.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is a process, and we're going to do a proper process. We'll probably next week, maybe the week after, start a recruitment process where we probably will advertise for the role.
Okay.
And we'll go through the role process, recruitment process in a proper fashion. We will agree as a board with Nathan the criteria that we're looking for, a profile of the manager we want. We've obviously got some ideas on that already.
Mm.
And that will become our blueprint. And against that, we will compare CVs and applications. Mm-hmm. And then obviously there'll be some that don't work and some that do. Mm-hmm. Those that do, we'll meet. We'll get down to a short list and we'll do the process the way it should be done. And I think on the back of that, we will find some really, really good candidates.
Yeah, so I mean, we say interim manager, and could it be that we might see someone else in the hot seat by the end of the season? There is a specific time frame Buddy, Aaron and Dean have been given. Is it literally an interim? You say it may be a case that we find a candidate we want to put in full time, or have they been told end of the season, or, you know... Was that a conversation we can't really sort of talk about?
Oh, I can't talk about that.
Yeah, but of course,
I can. Look, they've been asked to come in and do an interim job for us. Technically, that tends to mean by the end of the season. Mm. But that's not in anyone's... it's not in their terms. It's they ran full house of the pump. Mm. We all love this club. We know we can help the club. This is the three guys, and we want to help the club achieve its ambition. So we'll come in. Mm. No conditions. We'll come in and sort this out. Mm. And I think that gives me and the board a chance to have a little breather and do a proper assessment of our opportunity and where we go and find our replacement. And that doesn't rule those three candidates out either, does it?
No. Obviously, when you're looking at these new candidates, obviously, you know, different managers have different styles of play. We have established a style of play under Adam here at Worthing, which has been successful for the club and the youth teams and the academy team, etc. We want to keep that ethos going, or would we get a manager who might come in and change the whole structure and way we play? Because like you say, with York, they've done their homework with Adam, as you said, they know all about him, they've followed him. So obviously, you've not really had to follow anyone ourselves as a club to say, right, could he do the job, or if Adam left, blah blah blah. You know, it's very quick after Adam has left. So what will you be looking for in the new manager from a playing style point of view?
That's a good question. There are a couple of things that are absolutely sacrosanct, we believe, in hiring the next manager. But equally, there will be things in there we still need as a board to discuss to see how we can have a more rounded solution, perhaps. And the things that we want to protect are a possession-style football, which has bravery in it, and attack and goals. It entertains. It's a lot easier to watch, and it brings crowds in. So we want to do that. And don't forget, all of our youth structure play that way. So it'd be a bit daft to throw that out now. The other thing we want to protect in the recruitment of a new manager will most certainly be somebody that respects and understands the role of a youth structure within an organisation like ours, a football club like ours, a pathway. And the benefit of having youth feeding your first team in time as they progress. It's a good way of balancing the budgets. It's a great way of a player learning how to play the Worthing way and falling into the first team. And beyond that, then maybe go into the pro game. So somebody who respects and understands the role of a youth structure is vital, as is somebody who wants to play possession football. I would say those two things are going to be at the top of our list. But beyond that, we need to just determine other things like the character and other things that we need to think about in terms of that person's spec.
Yeah, and obviously that question has made your life a lot easier, because 75% of managers need not apply.
Some interesting names have sent their CV through, some well-known names. I know obviously you would never say, but some names that are well-known.
No, let's keep that off.
Okay,
let's
cool,
keep that
cool,
off.
That's
for the
fine. Yeah, you know, trying to dig there, aren't you? But one thing I was going to say though, that obviously because you're looking at a caliber of a manager now that is, you know, is in a National League, progressing to National League, then possibly up to the league football. Obviously, the structure Adam had, he was in charge of the youth as well. Are you looking at just generally a first team manager now, and then there'll be a youth manager brought in as a separate sort of thing? Because obviously that role's completely gone now.
Yeah, the answer to that is I'm not sure. This is where I go back to the point about it being an opportunity. Mm. I spoke to Nathan yesterday, and you're going to have to edit that.
No, I'm not editing. You did speak to him yesterday, he said, I'm going to miss you, and you gave him a big hug and a kiss.
Nathan and I talked about how this might affect the way we think about the structure of the football side of the club, and that's where this does present an opportunity. Mm. Adam did things in a certain way, had certain responsibilities, and maybe we can look at it in a different way now.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing we need to do is find the right person for the role, a role there, and then we can build a structure around that individual.
Yeah. I know you obviously, again, you can't go into detail of contracts, it's personal negotiations, it's private, it's stuff that shouldn't be in the public domain. But has that put a new level of negotiation with certain players that you would want contracted to the club next season in terms of, are they going to sign, like things like that, you know? Because we all know there's a certain goal scoring talisman that we'd like to see playing for Worthing for foreseeable future.
I'm too old now for that.
Yeah, Barry in his day. But where does it sort of leave you with contracts, you know?
Well, I think that obviously some players, well, all the players that were here are here now, were playing for Adam, and a lot of them would have been here for Adam because of Adam and the way Adam plays, which is why it's important to uphold that sort of style of play going forward and all those principles. But of course, there's a degree of uncertainty now, which is why it was important to introduce the three guys that have come in. That continuity, I think everybody's comfortable. They've got, they know the person. They know that, that those three guys know how we play, that pattern, that style of football, that DNA. That are highly respected, and we can keep that going for this period of time, for the rest of this season, hopefully.
Fantastic.
But in terms of contracts going forward, then of course, if anyone has got that allegiance to Adam as much as they have the club, they're going to have a little look at see who comes and whether that works for them. It's a natural thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I think we've all got to be a little bit patient in that process with the players and with the club, because we're going to have to manage through that with each of those players. But it's something we'll do, I'm sure.
And any talks that happen, are you happy with currently as it goes? You know, things that are moving nicely in certain areas that you would be happy with? You sort of like any talks have already happened? You know, obviously it's nothing signed yet, but are you quite positive with the way those talks are going?
Yeah, of course. But don't forget, since then, Adam's left. And so nobody knows who's going to be their manager next year. And I think it's important that we do what we can as soon as we can to fix that question. And at that point, I'm sure we'll have some very constructive conversations.
Cool.
Because don't forget, I do believe the players enjoy playing for the club.
They seemed in high spirits in there when they came in, for someone that just lost their manager for a long time.
They've probably lost managers in their career
before. Of course.
It won't be the first time or the last time.
So. Yeah. You talked as the chairman of Worthing now, but how do you feel personally about Adam moving on?
I'm absolutely delighted for him. I really am. I've said this in my statement, and when I first got the call on the Saturday night, speaking to York City, I had a beaming smile, because the fact that he's worked so hard here for this football club, he's achieved so much, and that the club has backed him, and he's backed the club. For him to get the outcome now that he's got, I think, you know, the whole board is delighted for him, and I'm personally so pleased. I know what he's going up to, and it's such an impressive setup. There'll be a lot of managers in English football that would love to have the job and opportunity he's been given. So for me, I'm personally really, really pleased for him. I think as a football club, I know that the fans and supporters adored him and will be shocked with the situation that we've got. But if we just look at it in that context for him, I think it's a cracking move.
Yep.
We now just need to turn this challenge into an opportunity, how we can take this situation and make this a better situation for the club.
But isn't it great that you see lots of players coming and moving on to better things, and now we've got a manager who comes and moves on to better things?
Nothing's better than Worthing.
But you know what I mean. But you know, people moving on to bigger and better things is only good for the club, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's a great thing. It's a great place to be for sure.
Barry, thank you so much for being open and honest as per usual. We'll get you back on sometime in the season, and we'll make sure I can find some difficult questions for you to answer.
Unveiling a new manager.
Yeah, possibly that.
I look forward to that.
Thanks, Barry.
Cheers.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
So great to hear from Barry and the insight about the move and what happened around the club on the day that Hinch has left. But I thought it'd be interesting. Well, I did, because the guys here didn't even know you were coming in until a second ago. But I thought it'd be interesting to hear from Jack, who's head of media, Jack Williams. Firstly, you've been on Rebel Yell as Pete's co-commentator. Well, kind of had a mic shoved in your face when you're trying to tweet officially about the club. But
hold on. You know the little table I had made especially for me to commentate from? Well, he found it was easier to do his work from there. But by default, he's standing next to me. So what am I going to do?
Well, I think you should get a COVID-style separator board or something like that. So you keep yours official club side. But welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast. Obviously, we've known you quite a few months now to help sort things out. But nice to get you on. Just give us a little bit of background about yourself, firstly, like how you came into the role and, you know, what... Because you're not from around these areas, are you?
No, not at all.
I don't know if you can tell by the accent.
A lot of people have told me that I don't really have much of an accent. I think I've learned to sort of hide it.
Is it when you have a few beers? It's like an end-of-season party. That's what you're hearing.
Firstly, thank you for having me. So I sort of... The media officer role came about last season on a voluntary basis. And I was going into my third year of uni at the University of Chichester. And my course leader, Ian Warden, actually knows Matt Axel quite well.
Okay.
Put us in touch, sort of said, this would be a perfect opportunity for you to do as your third year placement. And I was like, yeah, great. Sounds amazing. Not, you don't really get to work with the National League South Club and a club that size. And yeah, spent last season volunteering in the media officer role. The permanent position came available in September. I'd gone back. So I've spent the last three summers working with Glamorgan Cricket back in Cardiff, which not quite home, but Wales, that is my background. Come from a village close to Swansea called Llangennech. Challenge for you to repeat that one. But yeah, the position came available in September. Well, in, I think it might have been August, and I was able to start in September. And yeah, haven't looked back really. It's been everything and more of what I've wanted to sort of achieve. And yeah, it keeps throwing challenges at me.
I was going to say, I know you're going to say you enjoy the role because your boss is sitting in the room right now, really. So he's not exactly going to say it's horrible. But, you know, you've come into a steady club, as you thought, with steady management, you know, a club that's on the up. Did you think that sort of 6 months into the role, you'd be sort of putting out stories, putting out things that are probably the biggest that you're going to have in your career in the short term is media role?
Absolutely not. I mean, you look at Worthing as a club, you look at how stable it is, how well it's run from top to bottom. And Adam Hinchwood was sort of the top of that. Sort of, you look at Worthing, you look at Hinch and how loyal he'd been. And yeah, I certainly, even up until the start of this week, I wasn't expecting to have
So obviously this is what I wanted to ask, like, from a media officer point of view, head of media at the club. We started, as we said already on the podcast, we started getting the rumours, betting agents, betting sites on Monday, that sort of Adam's odds have gone ridiculously, what was it, high or low, would you say? What was it?
He was 1-8 on.
Yeah, which is, so very
£8 on to win one.
So low odds then, more chance. I'm not a betting man, as you can tell, just the odd hacker here and there. But so the rumour started, and obviously I know things like that wouldn't be necessarily put straight to the media part of the club. What was the first you heard about this? Like, what did you start getting texts from people saying, what's going on here? Or like, when did the club start involving you and stuff like that?
It was exactly that. I mean, I saw the rumours on Monday evening.
Yeah. Because I'd say you're not in any of the sort of Worthing supporters chats or anything like that.
No. Completely separate from that. Yeah. So I saw the first thing I saw was one just very random tweet saying, is it true that Elphick and Hinchelwood are leaving to go to
York? That sent to the official club one?
It was added at Worthing FC, and I was just going through the notifications, obviously ready to announce the Jack Spong transfer on Monday evening.
That's kind of gone out the window.
Yeah, so it was a very bizarre tweet at that time because there was no mention of it at all.
And what time was that, sort of?
It was, well...
early evening-ish?
Yeah, about 6 o'clock. And then as the evening went on, I saw more and more rumours, and that was as much as I knew about it. Nath got in touch and said to organise an interview with Hinch, which was the first sort of warning sign.
But was that any different from any normal Tuesday? Or do you not? We normally,
Hayden normally comes down and does the Thursday interview.
Yeah.
So it was obviously like a little sort of warning sign. It could have been about anything.
And that was on the Monday night?
Yes. And then Tuesday morning, came into work and had a chat with Keith, who explained what was going on. And then I basically just had to switch my phone off, not to reply to anyone, because I was getting messages.
He did send a message literally as soon as the note. Sorry, mate. I know you probably understand. I couldn't say anything. I was like, of course, Not like expecting you to.
I was asking him about the Dartford thing as well.
So why is he ignoring me? So you knew Monday, Tuesday morning when you came into work. That was that when the deal had been done, signed, delivered, and you had to then sort of keep it as sort of to a release.
Not quite all done. That's why it ended up waiting until whatever time it was in the end. But it was pretty much confirmed, and we were preparing the press release and obviously interviews then. So I had to get Hayden down. So he was probably next to Noel, and Axe helped me with the press release.
So what was the sort of timeline throughout the day then? So you got into work, you've been briefed by Keith, then what? Because obviously you didn't get released till 6 o'clock, was it, I think, in the end?
Yeah, do you know what? It was a bit of a waiting game, really. So we had the press release from Barry and Keith and Nath, who had worked on it initially. And then that was sent to me when they were happy with it. Then sort of was I got in contact with Kai, the media officer at York, to sort of discuss when we'd like to go with it. The initial plan was to go 7 p.m. But we were thinking that obviously the news was getting out there. There was a leak from I think it was from up north that he was sort of joining them.
There was a guy in the know, apparently, on one of their forums. Yeah,
yeah, it was a reporter, wasn't it, up in York, and he basically said it's a done deal.
Yeah,
the Sky Sports,
and apparently it's very reliable, and what he says goes is generally true. So yeah, we knew it.
Pete O'Rourke or something, wasn't it, or something? Yeah, he's very good with football scoops. Yeah,
he seems to get a lot right. To be fair, so Once the news was out there, we were sort of thinking, can we bring this forward? But obviously we were waiting for the last final bits of paperwork to be completed. We couldn't really jump the gun on that, because if it was going to take a U-turn, it would have made both clubs look a little bit silly. So it was just a case of waiting until that was all done. Had taken a look at the press release, and me and Barry went back and forth just right up until the 6 p.m. announcement, making sure it was right, getting everything we wanted to in there. And yeah, pretty pleased with how that statement was received. And then Hayden did a fantastic job with the interviews. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Hinchelwood one in particular was spot on, and I think he really nailed it from what we wanted to get out of that, and what we got out of Hinch as well, a final goodbye sort of thing. It was perfect, yeah. And I'm sure it touched a lot of the supporters as well.
It did. Now, obviously, you can call yourself a fan of the club now. You work here, you watch the game, you're going to be invested in it. Personally, on a personal level, what did you think about the whole thing? Were you shocked as all of us, sort of thing like that?
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have seen coming. Yeah, it was just a massive shock. And then, obviously, from my point of view, it was sort of about thinking, right, what do I need to do in my position now? What do I need to get prepared? So, yeah, it was just as much shock as anyone, really, at the news.
Yeah, I mean, I still think talk about it. We are still shocked it's happened. But how was it, like, off the camera? Obviously, we saw the interview. How was it left with Hinch, like, when he walked out Woodside Road for the last time? Was it almost like, bye, friend? Like that,
yeah, that
was sort of like, was it a bit weird seeing it?
Yeah, it was. So that they all came in. The initial plan was obviously to announce at 7 o'clock so that they could speak to the players at the same time. But obviously, the news had got out, so we brought the announcement forward as far as we could to 6 o'clock. And yeah, Hinch, Cam and Gaz all came in. I was in the bar at the time when they came in to sort of do their final chat with the players to explain their decision and what was happening. And yeah, Hinch, all three of them, to be fair, just were really, it seemed like an emotional, it was.
Did they seem like emotional, choked up? Like, could you see, like, probably raw emotion as well? Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And what about the players as well? Obviously, that's something we don't see as fans. That obviously was a private thing. Obviously, I know you're not going to go into detail, but obviously players would have been, they were probably WhatsApp groups and stuff throughout. Like, what was the players' overall reaction? Was it genuine shock at first, or had that obviously sunk in and they were just quite upset, or, you know?
He wants to know who cried.
Yeah, who cried? Was it Mr. Pierce?
I wouldn't be too sure, to be honest. I just saw sort of a few of the players embrace in hugs and like sort of chats with Hinch as they were leaving. So the plan was they basically chatted in front of them, and then as they left the bar, they sort of said their final goodbyes. And it was just an emotional sort of evening, really. It was like you'd never really prepare yourself to be in that sort of situation at all. So I was sort of just in shock all day, really.
And now he's got to deal with Buddy all the time now, hasn't he? I hope you've been briefed on Buddy. You know, he won't be as scary as Hinch when you've lost, Pete, will he? Like, if you ever have to do the interview, don't worry about that when you've lost. But you're looking forward to sort of a new chapter, sort of seeing something new happening. You know, obviously the fans know the players very well, have taken over.
Yeah.
What are your first thoughts?
Just excitement, really. Yeah. I think Nath has done brilliantly to get those three in on such a quick turnaround. I think everyone involved in that process has done a brilliant job, because they're three men that will take it from where it's been left off.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron obviously has been part of it and will know it better than anyone, and Buddy similar. And then Dean seems a fantastic coach and a fantastic person at that. So I think the club is in very good hands. Mm-hmm. And from a playing point of view, I'm sure it'll be much the same.
I'm glad you confirmed that, because we talked about it, obviously, and we had the same idea, but I'm glad somebody else thinks the same as us.
Yeah, there we go. Well, Jack, I'm sure you're looking forward to Saturday sitting next to Pete as his co-commentator, as he like calls you now, is it?
I might have to hide in.
He's not officially commentating on Saturday. That's to say, take that out. He's not officially commentating. Pete might be back in the crowd again doing his usual. But it'll be interesting to see. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to Rebel Yard Podcast. And no more surprises like that this season,
no,
please. Yeah.
Not.
The only time we'll maybe have you is if we lift in that playoff title, eh, Barry?
Thanks,
mate.
Cheers.
Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of the Rebel Yell Podcast, episode 7. Quite an eventful one. Dino, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Looking forward to hearing some new songs on Saturday. You've got the pressure's on now, mate. The pressure's on. They've got to be as memorable as the last Hinch ones, and you've got to tell anyone off for trying to sing any Hinch ones by mistake. It's all about Aaron now, you know.
I bet it happens.
Yeah, well, of course it'll happen. By mistake. Someone will start it, and then they'll be like, hang on a second. But yeah, get down to Dartford on Saturday. We've still got ones up to Dartford, I say, across and up. Do enjoy it. Get behind the boys. And if you're going to Chelmsford on Monday, it's a Monday night away game, which is unusual for us, isn't it? But it's a big one. That is, as you said, that is a big one. That's for the promotion race. But yeah, guys, thank you very much. Pete, welcome back. He's gone already. See you in a few months' time. Listen to him on rebelyard.live. Read his latest blog, Pink's Pulpit. He's got his latest blog out. Very articulate. I think you should take it up as a profession, Pete.
Well, you know, one day someone might slap me.
I can't massage his ego anymore. Can I? You know, like that. But listen to the Rebel Yell podcast on all major podcast providers. Thanks to MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical, and also for the away travel, Box Direct. So get on your coaches. Rebel Yell WFCSA on Twitter, social media, X, whatever it's called. And I guess we'll see you around at the games and up the Rebels, and not up the Hinch anymore. Who is it now, Pete? It's a bit of a mouthful now. Up the Aaron. No, really, I need to stop now. Up the Aaron. No,
Aaron.
Get behind Aaron, Buddy and Dean this weekend, and we'll see you around. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.